Representative Willis, good morning. Appreciate the time as always.
Good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Yes, sir.
What made you get behind this bill?
So, you know, this is my third term in the General Assembly, and ever since I've been here, you know, I've been heavily involved in education. I've heard year after year after year how the public schools don't have the same flexibility as charter schools, and they were asking for parity in the educational landscape. They wanted to be able to do what the charter schools do, and being that the charter schools were created to be an incubator and you know, a test lab for us, we started looking at what the pieces were that the public schools didn't have, and the two pieces really that stuck out the most around staffing, at least, were related to teacher licensure and then classroom sizes. We know there was a lot of uproar when the class size requirements came in several years ago. Schools were complaining about having to build new buildings or having to get trailers and other things because they just didn't have the classroom space to make those numbers work. The schools were built for larger class sizes. And so there's been a lot of challenges, and now the teacher shortage has certainly exacerbated some of those issues. And we've got thousands, as you mentioned, the DPI reporting, we've got thousands of empty classrooms in terms of permanent teachers right now across the state. And you know, anything that we can do to help fill that gap, and what this does, or the intent of this really, is to be able to bring in lateral entry teachers or teachers that are coming out of college with degrees in related fields, that have the expertise in subject matter expertise in a certain area, to be able to step in and fill those gaps. And so I think there's been a lot of, I guess, misrepresentation or misunderstanding about the intent of this bill. But every LEA across the state, every superintendent across the state has been clamoring for this kind of flexibility to be able to help them manage on a local level. And the headline that keeps coming out is just, oh, well, we're doing away with class size restrictions. And that's just not the case. What we're doing is giving flexibility to the local LEAs and the school districts to be able to decide what works for them, given their current requirements. This is not a mandate. There's nothing in there that forces them to do anything. This just gives local control, which is another thing they've been asking for. They want local control. They want it out of state hands. They want it locally in the LEA and the Board of education locally to be able to make those decisions, and that's what we're trying to do.
To the lateral entry part of this, and maybe this is a poor example, but I'm thinking maybe like a woodworking teacher or an auto shop teacher that could come in and fill a gap. Is that sort of the intent behind this?
Absolutely. Whether it's a CTE-related skills or job trades type of class, like you mentioned, or if it's somebody comes in with a history degree or an accounting degree, and is teaching accounting or helping teach math. I mean, there are a lot of folks out there that want to come in. They just don't have the teacher prep side of this. And so the licensure piece really goes back to, you know, how do you manage a classroom? How do you build a lesson plan? How do you kind of, you know, do the things that normal teachers do on an everyday basis? There's a number of ways to learn how to do that. And if somebody comes in and can step in that role and fill a gap that we've got right now from a long-term sub, or, you know, we've got classrooms that you hear stories about that are being taught in cafeterias or in gymnasiums, and you've got several classes kind of bunched together just because we don't have teachers. And so this isn't an attack on teachers. This isn't an attempt to lessen the requirements or reduce the quality of education. I mean, I've got three kids of my own in the public school system in North Carolina. You know, that's certainly not the intent of what we're trying to do, but we can't continue to just cover up the dire needs that we have in terms of the teacher shortage across the state. And we need every opportunity that we can to help fill those gaps.
You mentioned the teacher shortage, 9.9%, the study from DPI last week. That's actually down from, I think, 11% last year, but still up from like the 7.5% we saw 4 or 5 years ago. Are there things the General Assembly can do to help rectify the teacher shortage and stop these folks from leaving education?
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the things that gets lost in this as well. I think, you know, we've got multiple bills floating through the House and the Senate right now that are going to address, the teacher issue. I mean, obviously, we've got some things we're working on with teacher pay. And I think, you know, especially since I've been there, I mean, I've been fighting for teacher pay raises, moving up the scale, bringing back master's pay, helping with advanced teaching roles, which I think would be really critical. I mean, we've done work with the principals, the vice principals. I mean, we're trying to do what we can across the board, given the budget limitations that we have. But we've got other programs out there that will help with attracting new teachers, whether it's high school students who are interested in going into teaching or folks who are in the career space already and maybe want to take a different direction and get into teaching. We've got a number of ways that we're going after and trying to help them, you know, get their education degree, reduce the cost and the burden to them, and get them in the classroom as soon as possible.
This bill in particular, Representative, does it, you feel like it's got some traction and some support behind it to get it across the finish line?
I certainly think so. I mean, obviously, you know, like I said, I mean, and it's not a new issue that we've got a teacher shortage across the state. And so in certain counties, especially some of our more, you know, less populated rural counties, it's hard to attract folks from outside to come in. And so we're going to need to be able to find, you know, folks that are there locally to help fill these gaps. And this is just one way that we can do that.
Last thought, and changing gears on you to let you go. There was a bill introduced last month, I think it was debated yesterday, that would make the Andy Griffith Show the official television show of North Carolina. This feels like a no-brainer, Representative.
Well, you know, there's a whole lot worse examples in this world than Andy Griffith. And, you know, I think his relationship with Aunt B and Opie and, you know, the whole crew there, I think certainly be a welcome change for some of the, some of the influences we see today.
Union County Representative David Willis, really appreciate the time and the perspective this morning. Thank you so much.
Thanks, sir. Have a great day.